Roy Show, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, drafted into duty on the Mike Malloy program. Mike is out sick, and we hope that he will be back in fine fettle on Monday. So it's me, Brad of BradBlog, broadcasting for the next couple of hours live, broadcasting live from Los Angeles, KTalk AM 1150 studios. We're taking your calls and we're talking accountability on Accountability Friday. That's what I've decided today is. Somebody's going to be held accountable here before the night is over. If Eric Holder won't do it, if Barack Obama won't do it, you people, use your airwaves. These are them. You own them. Hold someone accountable. Who you want to hold accountable? Obama, Bush, Brad Friedman, feel free. Hold me accountable. I will take it. 877-520-1150 is our number. Speaking of troublemakers and muckrakers, my next guest has been doing exactly that, troublemaking and muckraking, for quite some time over at the BBC and elsewhere. Greg Pallas joins me. He's a investigative BBC journalist, author of Armed Madhouse. Armed Madhouse, From Baghdad to New Orleans, Sordid Secrets and Strange Tales of a White House Gone Wild. He's also the star of the new documentary video, Greg Pallast Investigates, which you can get at gregpallast.com/bradblog, if you like. Hey, my old friend. Oh, and I should say, I do appear, if you listen carefully, on the audio version of Armed Madhouse, playing a few characters here and there. So, by way of full disclosure, there you have it. Hey, Greg, welcome to the Mike Malloy program.
Thrilled to be with you. Sorry that Mike's out, you know, anthrax, I suppose, something like that.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's his excuse tonight.
I know, they finally got to him. Yeah, that's got to be it. All right, well, you heard what I said. It's Accountability Friday, Greg. Who shall we hold accountable first and for what? Because clearly there's plenty to go around right now.
Well, I want to pick on two.
All right.
and the sling between them. One is the President of the United States, who began his
George W.
talk.
Bush?
George W. Bush Jr. Sometimes.
Okay. All right.
I love Barack, but he began his statement about health care by saying, you know, we were losing 700,000 jobs a month. Correction, Mr. President, we are losing 700,000 jobs a month. 750,000 jobs are going down the toilet right now. And I know he wants to change the subject to anything at all, healthcare, which ain't going to happen, anything. But we're losing. We're losing big time. And that brings me to, who do we blame? Who do we hold accountable?
All right, before you get to the hold accountable, let me ask you this. The Dow is over 9,000 again. So doesn't that mean, and unemployment, while it's still huge, it's less huge than it was before. Doesn't that mean the economy is improving and everything is all right?
Well, actually, it's not less huge than before. Listen to the kind of a ledger domain that they use, the magic with numbers. And for those who don't know Greg Pallas, actually, before I was an investigative reporter, I had a real job. I was an economist, okay? And I got to tell you, what they're telling you is that the rate of increase in unemployment is slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
So we are about to leap over the magic 10% mark, which by any intelligent definition makes this an official depression, okay?
Is that the definition,
like,
by the way?
There are those who require that we go all the way to 25% unemployment, but 10% will do it for me. How
all
about
right.
the ungreat depression? Would that be sufficient?
There
if we
you
have
go.
The great depression at 10% will be the ungreat depression. Who is to blame, Mr. Diamond?
Mr. Diamond, who's that?
And I want to pick out Diamond are not my best friend. Jamie Dimon is the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, the bank that's named after a pirate or a bottle of rum, depending on how you want to break it out.
Uh-huh.
J.P. Morgan. Now, J.P. Morgan like Goldman Sachs was one of the TARP babies that got tens of billions of dollars from the U.S. government. But they also got money in indirect ways from the FDIC and other methods. I know, like Goldman, which made a big deal of turning over its TARP money from the government, Goldman Sachs.
Yeah.
It also got more. It got more than its TARP money through the bailout of AIG Insurance. They got $15 billion from the bailout of AIG. It was basically a money laundering operation. Why were we bailing out bankers who were making bets on derivative gambling? It was like they took out insurance to go to Vegas. It was the most unbelievable thing. And believe it or not, an insurance company that says we don't care how you gamble. If you win, it's okay. If you lose, we'll pay you off. You know what? That insurance company is going to go out of business. And somehow we've been told that if we let them go out of business, that the
whole economy collapses.
You know, Chicken Little said that the economy will
right.
collapse. Well,
no?
Guess what? We saved them, and you know what? The economy has collapsed. And indeed, the sky did fall. Unfortunately, it didn't fall on the banks like Morgan and Goldman, et cetera.
So to be clear, the better plan, Greg Pallas, would have been let these guys go under, and instead of bailing them out, bail the people who had money in their operations out. Is that...
Roughly that. In other words, we had there was some blonde who ran for president. What was her name? Anyway, Clinton had said what we need is something that FDR had tried out. And by the way, even John McCain for a couple hours backed the idea of a federal home loan bank. We have a disaster which was created by predatory mortgage lending. Now, and by the way, if you want, the reason I'm picking on Jamie Dimon.
That's what I was going to ask. What did Jamie Dimon? You named Jamie Dimon. What did he do?
He is supposedly, at least from his statement, supposedly Obama has called him his favorite banker. Well, he's not my favorite banker because he's also runs one of the probably the second largest subprime operation out there called Washington Mutual, which they took over, J.P. Morgan Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the deal. These guys became commercial banks overnight. That meant that they got insurance from us. But you know, when you are a commercial bank, you're supposed to do something else. You are required by law, for example, to invest in the community. It's called the Community Reinvestment Act.
Right.
Well, what is Goldman's community? Where's J.P. Morgan Chase's community that they've been helping out? That's required by law. Other banks have put in literally hundreds of billions of dollars over the years under these laws. These guys have gotten the gold mine from us. And we've gotten the shaft.
But you're saying the investment bankers, the investment bankers did not have to participate in the Community Reinvestment Act?
They're no longer investment bankers. You know, we sprayed some type of Federal Reserve holy water on Goldman Sachs and turned this financial casino into a commercial bank. Well, where's their ATM? You know,
yep.
If they're a commercial bank, they are required to lend money into the community, but instead what they've been doing is bleeding it dry. So now, what would have been this? What were the solutions? What are the solutions? We go back. How about helping out their victims instead of the victimizers? And actually, in the film, one of the things in this film, Palast Investigates, which is called From 8 Mile to the Amazon, and I do my investigation. These are investigations I did for BBC television. In other words, I'm allowed to do investigative reporting in Britain. Mm-hmm. It's illegal under Patriot Act 3 in the U.S. or something. But it's... And one of the things besides, you know, hunting down oil companies in the Amazon, I went to 8 Mile, where I met a guy, Robert Pratt, who was losing his home to foreclosure. 5 kids. He used to have 6, but one was shot in the backyard by a stray bullet. You know, it's a wonderful neighborhood. He was given a so-called subprime mortgage. Now, in the old days, subprime mortgages were called loan sharking or predatory mortgages. They were illegal. What is a subprime mortgage? It's not about, I don't care what Fox TV says, these are losers, people who couldn't afford their mortgages. Robert Pratt is a UAW member. He was earning a union wage and working overtime 7 days a week. He is not a subprime. There are no subprime borrowers, mm-hmm. as one credit union manager says to me. The credit unions, by the way, whom you should support, do not give out subprime loans. They give out loans, okay?
Right.
A subprime loan does not mean that the person is subprime. The subprime loan means that there is an that you pay an extra percentage interest rate, but you don't know it. Subprime means that you will get the prime rate plus an additional sum in later years. These are called exploding interest clauses. So Robert Pratt, for example, was paying about $700 a month on his mortgage on his home in 8 Mile, like a $100,000 mortgage. 3 years later, he's paying $1,100. Now it's rising to $1,500. That's more than half his take-home pay. He can't do it. In other words, And by the way, it's not true that people couldn't pay these mortgages. Oh, they couldn't afford. Yeah, they could. If you didn't suddenly jack up the rate 4 years later, and when they're asked, well, what is this thing about the rates rising? Because it's a really complex language in page 42 in the middle of the document. They said, don't worry about that. We'll refinance your mortgage later. And by the way, they did that a lot, and they would charge massive, massive fees to roll over the mortgage into a new one. And what's happening in the meantime is that these fees are being added into the mortgage so that basically...
Hold the thought, Greg. I got to get to a break. And, I hate to, reopen that can of worms, but it's still open. No one's been held accountable, and none of those banks were required under the Community Reinvestment Act to give a loan to anybody who couldn't afford it. That's right. BS. And so when you hear that on Fox News. So talking to Greg Palast, it's going to take some of your calls coming up, 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Stick with us. Money for nothing, right? Eventually. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. It's all right, Tony. It happens. Blame me. Why not? It's Accountability Friday. I'll take accountability for that. Brad Friedman talking with Greg Palast here. Get more information on Greg at gregpalast.com. Get his new documentary, Greg Palast Investigates, at gregpalast.com/bradblog. And it'll help me out, too. Why not? All right, so we're talking about accountability. We're talking about the banks, the problem that still has not been fixed. Yes, even though the Dow is over 9,000, everything's fine, right? No, people are still losing their homes. They're still getting tossed out. The bankers are getting rich again, and no one is holding them accountable. Greg was talking about Jamie Dimon, Barack Obama's favorite banker. As a matter of fact, Greg, who we were talking earlier this afternoon, that you compared Barack Obama and the bankers to who?
I don't remember.
Oh, well, you said that the banks were Barack Obama's oil compared to George Bush.
Well, yeah, okay, thank you. Thank you for reminding me.
You were drunk at the time, I understand.
I should be. what that means is that... there they were.
They're coming to get you. Yeah.
And so, you have to understand is that Barack Obama probably raised five times as much from the finance community as McCain did. Why are they so comfortable with this guy? And as it turns out, for the Democratic Party, for Barack Obama, the banks are what oil was to Bush in terms of the big money coming in. Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan shifted his funds from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party, of course, seeing which way the wind was blowing.
Right.
But it's paid off big time. In fact, at their board meeting, it's quite amazing, is that the special guest of honor at their board meeting, which is closed to the public, will be Rahm Emanuel.
Oh,
now, even Timmy Geithner, he got the first invitation to, and turned it down as an obvious conflict of interest.
Right.
And Geithner, you practically have to hit him with a subway train to notice a conflict of interest. So when Geithner says it's a conflict of interest, and then Rahm Emanuel runs into it, the so-called chief of staff, do I smell conflict here? Holy cow. So, but what are they getting in return? My big problem is we talked about Robert Pratt, the guy who's losing his home. He has not gotten a call from Rahm Emanuel to come to his house, and he hasn't been invited to J.P. Morgan's board meeting. I'm very concerned. In fact, he's got – now, I talked about Pratt as a victim of these guys. What about General Motors? Okay, here's a victim for you. When they were put through the bankruptcy wringer, everyone – got machine gunned.
Right.
Their stockholders, various bondholders, and most important, their workers and retirees lost all of their health benefits and took GM stock in return. Would you like GM? Hey, listen, if you need a pancreas tomorrow, I don't think the doctor is going to take 50 shares of a busted company stock. You know, good cars, but you know, busted company. Now, the but J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs had loans outstanding to General Motors. They got every penny back, $10 billion out of a company which needed every single nickel to stay alive and keep the economy alive. I know people beat up General Motors, but every car company was hurting there. They were killed by high interest rates. They were killed by these very same banks which cranked it up on them.
Shareholders
acted like loan sharks, they got they got it back in cash. Now, in a bankruptcy like that, no one gets their money back. But this was engineered by Stevie Ratner, working at the behest of the Obama administration, and then after Ratner, Stevie the Rat, arranged for the $10 billion to take out of General Motors' hide, then he resigns because he may be facing indictment for bribery in New York.
Greg, what's good for J.P. Morgan is good for the USA. We're going to take a quick break here. Come back. You can stick around, take a call or two before you go, Greg?
I have to.
All right, brother. Hang on,
Jamie,
Jeff.
You want to call? What's the number for Jamie?
We're calling Jamie Dimon?
He's got to call in, right?
Let's get him.
He should call.
Let's get him. Oh, and I just lost Jeff. I was going to talk to him in Orange County. All right, hang on. Greg Palast, Brad in for Malloy. Stick with us.
Sing a song. If the sun reveals the shine, I don't mind.
All right, Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, speaking with Greg Palast, author of Armed Madhouse, From Baghdad to New Orleans, Sordid Secrets and Strange Tales of a White House Gone Wild. And I'm pretty sure he was talking about the Bush-Cheney White House, but now we've got another White House that's gone wild. And since it's Accountability Friday, we're calling them all out. And we're talking about the bankers getting away with murder here. Jamie Dimon, president of J.P. Morgan. Greg, you want to take a couple quick calls here?
Love to.
All right, brother. I got to learn how this system works. Steve in Burbank, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you doing? How you doing there, Brad?
Doing all right. Greg? Oh, I can see you waving out the window there in Burbank.
Well, you know, this would be a much better call if I'm not drinking beer on an empty stomach.
Oh, great.
But, you know, well, Greg's he's guilty, too. He just admitted it.
That's true. How can we help you, Steve?
Well, it was fun to hear him say, you know, cash in GM stock to get a pancreas operation, and I thought, well, take a hacksaw to a bar of gold, you know, and go to the supermarket. Same difference. What I wanted to ask Greg, not putting him on the spot, is if he's ever heard of this Richard Wolff guy from the University of Massachusetts at Amherst.
Yes.
Oh, goody, you have. And you, and another dumb thing, do you know Adam Curtis personally? You know, it's like, hey, my brother's in the Army, so you see a guy on the street.
I don't know any of these people. What's the question? What's the question you got for Greg?
I'm talking to Greg about economics. And,
okay, so talk to me.
Bring it on.
Okay. Well, I did not see Zeitgeist. Did you see Zeitgeist? I just want to ask you a question about Zeitgeist.
No, missed that one, but go ahead.
Is that it? Come on, Steve.
Okay.
Come on, baby.
Well, what we have happening here is through history and through economics we study, we see that there are terms called commodities capital, and then there is financial capital. And then the other day on the radio, I heard another university professor talking about phantom wealth and real wealth. And then I heard another clown talker on the radio time after time saying concrete money,
okay,
abstract
Steve,
money.
Put that in the form of a question.
What I'm trying to say is this.
Okay.
We are being manipulated by the money people. They're using money to control the population large, the whole earth.
All right.
And we're falling for it because, you know, we believe it. We believe that money is wealth. Money is not wealth. Money is nothing more than an IOU.
Thanks, Steve. I got to go, brother.
Okay,
nurse that beard. No problem. Let me get to, unless you got a comment on that, Greg.
Well, actually, I do have a comment.
Go for it.
There was something in there between the suds, okay, which was that about money, making money. You see, we used to make money in America by making things. Like cars, right? And now we make money by money. In fact, I was just looking. My research associate was saying, this number can't be right. I said, it really is. J.P. Morgan controls right now $81 trillion in derivatives. $81 trillion in derivatives. This was a product like an automobile. It doesn't have wheels. You can't drive it. You can't eat it. You know, but we are stuck with it. $81 trillion, and now that J.P. Morgan has been blessed and made a commercial bank, we're responsible for it. And we don't even know what it is, except there's $81 trillion of this stuff. $81 trillion
and
the
derivative market collapsed, but it didn't go away, did it? It's still there.
It didn't go away, and we didn't... Who called for this thing? America was built without 12 cents of derivatives, and now we got $81 trillion in a single bank. That means if they've made a 1% error, we're nearly $1 trillion in the hole, the U.S. Treasury, because we've just backed up these guys by making them part of our official banking system. This is out of control. What we've done is we have now decided to insure these are basically financial casinos. They are not banks. And in a way, this is what Steve was talking about, which is that we are now in the business of money making money as opposed to making things to make money. That is very dangerous for the economy because it cuts out people called American workers. This could lead, if we don't stop this stuff, we don't have a temporary depression. This may not be secular. What we may have is a permanent decline in the U.S. economy.
How does this stop, Greg Palast? Do you say we have to change? What do we need to do? What does Barack Obama or Congress need to jump in and do?
One, close the casinos. We shouldn't be guaranteeing casino operations. You hit it on the head, Brad. We should be giving money not to the banks which gave out predatory mortgages. We still have 6 million people facing foreclosure, which means something like 79 million families facing devaluation of homes, near foreclosed homes. So what we need to do is take over the mortgages, nationalize mortgages, as we did under FDR, set up a federal home loan bank, and give these people back their mortgages without the crazy, predatory, loan sharky interest.
Well, but haven't we already
done that off?
But haven't we already done the TARP? They think everything's fine. How could this possibly come about where we start realizing, oh, we have to start giving the money to the people? They've already got this phony socialism thing going. How could this come about? It seems to me like it's going to have to get a hell of a lot worse before we even get close to actually doing the right thing here.
Well, what we need to do is begin foreclosing on the politicians, because how could it get much? Well, it could get much worse, but we are not. We have the same number of people facing foreclosure as we did last year. The idea that just because the market's above 9,000, when we have mortgage foreclosures, home foreclosures above 6 million. That's the number we should be looking at. That cannot stand. We cannot recover with that type of weight around our neck. California, we don't need an earthquake. California is sinking to the ocean financially under the weight of foreclosed homes. We need to stop that stuff. We need to keep people. It does not help us. It does not help us if the bankers are subsidized literally to put people out of their homes.
Let me get to...
We need to get the money into the people's hands to keep them in their homes. Most people can pay off their mortgages if the mortgage interest rates are not cranked up.
But
on them.
I think
it's that simple.
I think it's going to have to get so much worse before that happens, so that we have a mandate from the people that the liars, the Fox News liars and the right-wing liars, you know, can't go in there and say, it's socialism, he's trying to take over the country. I don't think actually Barack, even if it does get that bad, I don't think Barack Obama can fix it in that it will be held up. They would rather see this ship go down entirely than do the right thing for these people. Let me take one more call
sure.
for you, Greg, before I let you go. Jim in... Jim, our old buddy Jim Sorrell in Los Angeles. Jim guest blogs for us from time to time at Brad Blog. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great.
It was wonderful to talk to you both, two of my favorite smartest people. I have a question for either or both of you, and it sort of ties into what you're talking about. Barack Obama, a lot of hot air coming from him, in my opinion, but no transparency, even though he says transparency, no accountability, even though he talks a lot about accountability, just a lot of BS from what I'm seeing, and yet people who should know better, really smart folks like Randy Rhodes, Stephanie Miller, they're the ground this guy walks on, and all I can see is Bush 2. What do you guys think? Am I crazy out here? What's going on?
Well, you may be crazy, but that's not the question you're asking. Good to hear from you, Jim. Let's bat that one around. Take care, Jim. Greg, what do you think? Is he Bush 2?
Compared to what went before, is Mount Rushmore material, you know, because remember that Bush, when the mortgage market was collapsing, banks were collapsing, said he wasn't going to have any program to save the economy unless Congress approved the CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Act. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So that Obama, he may be flying around and unfortunately hanging around too much with Pirate Morgan Diamond, but nevertheless, he is actually trying to do something. He is hobbled by blue dogs, female dogs in Congress, and I don't mean to make that sexist, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got, you know, the worst thing in the world is something called moderate Republicans like Olympia Snowe that took money out of the stimulus plan. What we do need, though, however, is we should immediately put Geithner and Summers on roller skates and get rid of them right away, because they gave the money to the banks, and now they're saying maybe we ought to get something in return. They should have asked for something in return before they wrote the $1 trillion in checks. I mean, well more than $1 trillion in subsidy has gone to these guys. Around $4 trillion has gone into these banks in guarantees and subsidies. They should have said, before you get that, you will place a moratorium on foreclosures. You will not increase interest rates on any outstanding mortgage at this time. You will not. And that's all we needed to do.
There's a lot that he needed to do, and while it's easy to blame the blue dogs and the right-wingers and everything else, Barack Obama has a lot of political capital. He is not cashing it in. He has not showed up to say, we need to change this system from top to bottom. You voted for change. I'm here to bring you that change. He's really not. He's working around the margins. Yes, the energy package, the health care reform, these will be sea changes, frankly. They're not going to be very good bills, I suspect, by the time they're signed, but they're changes in the structure that we have here in this country when we're dealing with both energy and we're dealing with health care. Even though they will need to be fixed and made better in the future. He's not doing that for the banks. He's not doing that for the economy, as far as I can tell. So, he ain't George Bush. I'll grant you that. George Bush was evil. Barack Obama is a Democrat. That's a big difference. But he needs to do a lot more.
Yeah, that's the problem. Again, you know, compared to what happened, I mean, we've just been smacked in the face over and over again. So now we got a guy who's standing with his hands in his pockets and whistling as the economy is falling over the 10% unemployment cliff. So by contrast, I mean, he's not exactly slapping us around like we were being battered before. So it feels good. It feels good because we're just not getting slammed anymore
right.
by our own leaders. However, doing nothing, doing nothing, which is literally what's happening, which is that we wrote the checks to the bank, and now we're declaring that the bank crisis is over. I was deeply disappointed by his statement opening up on health care, like, well, I took care of the economy, now we can move on to health care. The hell you have, buddy.
Yep. The hell you have.
You know, there's still a mess all over the floor.
And we're cleaning it up. Greg Palast will be on duty for quite some time, I suspect. Thank you, my friend, author of Our Madhouse and star of the new documentary video, Greg Palast Investigates. You can get more information. You can get links to that book at bradblog.com and go to gregpalast.com/bradblog to buy a copy of that Greg Palast Investigates video. It helps him, it helps me, and it will help you. Thank you, Greg.
Got you, brother. Bye.
Have a good weekend. All right. Brad in for Malloy. Well, we're going to continue with your calls. Desi Doyne comes at the top of the hour with some green news. Give us a call, 877-520-1150. Accountability Friday with Brad on The Malloy Show. Accountability Friday on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Stop by bradblog.com. Go visit Agent 99 in the open thread there. She's lonely. She would like to see you there. Happy birthday, Bill O'Wright's man over at DU. I'm keeping my eye on you peeps as well. 877-520-1150. There we go. You're invited to the Chevy open house. GM has made it easy to get into a new Chevy with low, straightforward pricing on remaining 08 and 09 models. It's simple. The price on the tag is the price you pay. What? Go to Chevy.com/openhouse for details. The price on the tag is the price you pay for a car? I don't believe it. Chevy.com/openhouse for details. Excludes Corvette ZR1 at participating dealers only. All right, Accountability Friday. Let's bring it on. Steve in Palo Alto. Accountability for me? Oh, Steve? Did I lose him? Yeah, oh well. Let me try to get to Mark in San Francisco. Oh, Mark.
Yeah, it's Mark. How you doing, Brad?
Good, I'm okay. How are you, sir?
Good, I love your show.
Thank you. Yeah, it's Mike Malloy's show.
I know, but you do a great job filling in. He made a good choice.
I appreciate that.
Anyway, I'm after Eric Holder. I mean, we had the worst criminal administration in our history, and there's not one charge has been filed against him, not one.
Yep.
And you know what, Brad? What's happening is we're taking the debate away from the Democrats to try to get health care, and instead of the Republicans having to do damage control on the criminals, they're out to destroy our chances for good health care.
So you're saying that they don't have any accountability? They're not that they would be distracted by fighting off these torture probes and everything else if that was running at this
time?
That's
what I believe. I believe they'd have to do damage control because...
And would it make it harder then for the Democrats to actually get health care done?
Well, they're not getting any cooperation from the Republicans anyway.
I concur. You're right on the money. Smartly.
You know what I mean? What do we got to lose, Brad? I mean,
yep.
Why don't we just go ahead and do it with the right? It's the right thing to do.
Yep.
And let's get the debate changed instead of these birthers and all this.
Yeah.
Let's get our health care and let's go on with the agenda for the American people and let the Republicans do damage control on their criminals.
You make a good point. Put them on defense. Thanks, Mark. Smartly done. There's some accountability. Make them fight to protect Dick Cheney and George Bush for torture so they don't have so much time to do so much damn damage on this health care stuff and everything else. Clay in Minneapolis. What's up, Clay?
Hey, I like the debate going on here. I just had a comment about the health care stuff.
What is it?
I find it interesting that they come out, especially every time nowadays you see they try to make a major change, isn't the bailout or some of the recent legislation passed. And I feel like, especially with the health care, there's something we need to be aware of. of a 1,000-page bill that no one's read going through the House that fast and making that law. I think it's something we need to think about, especially when there's other interests
in that bill. What do we need to think about, Clay?
We need to think about the insurance companies that are running the place and that have the lobbyists buying out our congresspeople. It's heartbreaking, but it's
You think
true.
They're going to be, Clay, do you think they're going to be less likely to buy out our congresspeople if we take longer to pass health care?
You know, no. I mean, I think there's definitely something that needs to be done, and I think it gets a bad rap, the free market solution, because people always say, well, you don't care about health. Well, it's just, I think everyone agrees we need health care reform. The question is how, and giving a monopoly to the government and saying it's illegal to have anyone else's health care isn't really
fair.
Whoa.
Who said that, Clay?
Who said that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is a philosophy. A lot of people think this.
But that's not the bill. That's not the policy. Are you watching Fox News, Clay?
Of course not.
It's a public option.
I've been a critic of George Bush.
Okay, there's a
dismantle our country, and that's another thing.
Clay, let me help you out. Let me help you out, Clay. If there is a public option in the health care bill that gets passed, that means you will have the option to get public insurance versus private insurance, which you can still continue to have. Where did you get the idea that there would be a monopoly, Clay? Where did you get the idea that there would be a monopoly, that the government would have a monopoly on health care?
That's what they say.
Who's they? Who's they, Clay?
This is just the taglines they use on TV.
Don't listen to the taglines. It's BS, Clay. If you're worried about reading the bill, go read it.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I don't believe them.
Well, then don't. You say, why should we rush health care if you want the misinformation? If you want the misinformation to get still worse, Clay, then keep delaying on health care.
I'll just have an open mind to the intellectual debate, because I think it's something serious that's going to affect all of us.
It's damn
children,
serious.
So,
don't.
I mean, I'm not like calling on some, like, I don't want health care.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it needs to be reformed.
Okay.
It's just, how are we going to do it?
We're going to do it by fighting back at the BS and not falling for the crap you hear on Fox News that there's going to be a monopoly that the government is going to run. We'll be lucky if you get the government to work on this at all. You like your private insurance? These shysters, you like them? Keep them. Fox News. Brad in from Malloy. Desi Doyen coming up with green news and much more. And your call. Stick on the line right after this.